Thank you so much. We're good. It's going to start any second now.
That's what I hear.
What?
That's what I hear.
Okay. Oh, it has? Okay. Okay, so who gets the binders of women? Okay, what do you know?
Live from Peoria, Illinois, to Kansas City, Missouri, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, New Yorker writer-at-large Frank Rich, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who voted so early he can't quite remember who he voted for, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you so much. You scared me. Oh, no, my ear pad. I don't care. Let's throw your ear pads to the wind. Let's all remove our ear pads at this moment. Okay. I'm hearing a delay in myself, so I can't use these anyway. Done. All right.
Right.
What? Well, that's over with, huh, that election?
Yeah.
As far as I know. And I'm personally so relieved to be able to Planned Parenthood again. It's just, even though it's in retrospect, still, you know. Mitt, of course, has landed on his feet. He'll be playing Maxwell Sheffield in the remake of The Nanny. Excuse me just a minute. I got one on the line here. Okay. Oh, God, I think I really broke this. Oh, well. It's the public's money anyhow. Public radio. You'll buy me another pair. I know you will. Pauly Ryan is back in the house, not making eye contact. I mean, what can you say about a guy who can't deliver Janesville? You know, give me a... It's all good. Joe Biden can be Joe Biden again. President Obama's getting all weepy, though. That's, yeah. When he and Speaker Boehner get together, the dam gonna burst, is what I'm thinking. The fiscal cliff dam, you know, they got to inundate the fiscal valley with all those tears. You know, I gotta admit, I've got the post-electum, they call it, that syndrome. When you feel nobody's out to get you anymore, and no robocalls, no spam, just the Hong Kong cafe menus on the doorknob. Used and abandoned. What gives? I'm middle class. A little tension here. Huh? On the other hand, nice to have the time to leisurely pick and choose your elective surgeries. Under Obamacare, law of the land. I love it. Okay, that's cool. I don't know which one to get first. There's a lot to think about as far as your electives. President Obama's second term, all about climate change. It's me. I do climate change first term. Get it out of the way. Coast to the second term, maybe, you know, dental hygiene thing or gum recession. You know, just ram through gum recession. Something easy. Second term, you know, relax. In other news, if any, you can now smoke pot in Colorado, but it's a drag being arrested. But it's a drag, okay. But it's a drag being arrested when you're high, so there's no point in doing it. After the re-election, the anti-Obama movie goes straight to PowerPoint. Much GOP soul-searching so far, nothing. Yeah. All right, so I'll get letters about that. That's okay. Next guy who says fiscal cliff, though, gets it. Oops, I guess it'd be me. At least call it the FC. You know, I'm tired of fiscal cliff, fiscal cliff. FC. Except KFC wouldn't like it, I guess. Is that a fiscal cliff or are you unhappy to see me? You know, that sort of thing. You think the new Super Earth has a super fiscal cliff on it somewhere? Possibly. Does not a fiscal cliff imply fiscal lemmings? And who would they be, I'm wondering? Anyone come up with fiscal cliff notes? I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. And is it really a cliff or just adjacent to a large fiscal hole that would make it not actually a cliff then? I think everybody says fiscal cliff 100 times fast, it will lose its magic powers. So, you want to?
Yeah.
No, me neither. You can do it, though. Whoever wanted to can do it. Anyway, a rich man, other news, a rich man getting to heaven may still be a camel through a needle, but an oil executive is now Archbishop of Canterbury. Good news, it's not Tony Hayward. You know, remember Tony? Other news, Romney lost re-examined. Yep, still there. Republicans seriously look at salsa lessons to get the Latin vote. Next time, they got to do something desperate. Daniel Day-Lewis stars in My Left Lincoln. Rule of thumb now is don't buy off the lot from Sandy's used cars. Okay. Black Friday is now Black Thursday the week before. That's been changed. And really, they should eliminate Thanksgiving altogether, I think, because it gets in the way of Black Friday. And it's not like we need another Packers-Lions game anyway, you know. Never turns out well. Turns out not only the footballs, but USC has been deflating their Trojans as well. Turns out not only the footballs, but USC has been deflating their Trojans as well. I don't think that should be in there. That, if it made sense, it still wouldn't be funny. A man praying in the aisle of the United Jet thought he was too good to pray in his seat like everybody else. It's the start of the drone season in Iran. It'll last till February, I think. It is now believed the ancient Mayans went over a fiscal cliff. Though NASA is all excited about it, President Obama will not declare we will land a man on an asteroid by the end of the decade. Because it sounds stupid. It's not inspirational at all to say we'll land a man on an asteroid. Okay. I'm just saying. Man had tools 70,000 years ago, but forgets where he left them. And finally, and I mean that, a new dinosaur species found in Canada, the Dine-A-saur. A. That's all the news that is, and always end with a groan is my motto. Dine-A-saur. Okay. Okay. What? Oh, I broke them? Oh, thank you very much. You need them? If you need them more than me, go ahead. You wear them. Thank you, Tom. Tom Blaine. I don't know what he does for us, but he does it good. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Now, you're from Canada, Sarah Nix, aren't you?
Sorry, we were talking about headphones.
You're Canadian, huh?
I am.
So the A thing probably resonated with you.
It did. I got the joke right away.
Okay, good. Excellent. I'm still getting like the delay on here, Tom. That's okay, but I really don't want to hear my show like a few seconds later. It's kind of disturbing.
Disturbing.
Yeah, okay. All right. Frank Rich is on the line with us from New York. And Frank Rich, for many years, wrote the political column in the New York Times that was so useful and helpful during the Bush years. And political pundit. He also produces, he is a producer on Veep, the HBO series with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And I imagine he's a political advisor on that, but we'll find out more what he has to do with that. And as we talk with Frank Rich, on the line with us right now, aren't you, Frank?
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Very good, thanks. Good week.
Yeah. Are you having post-electum?
No, I mean, it kind of seems unreal, really, because at least from my point of view, the results were so uniformly good. Even the one bit of, I guess you could call it bad news, that Michelle Bachmann squeaked back in, it's good to have her around as a reality check on that party.
Have you ever chatted with Michelle Bachmann, one-on-one? Or?
No, have you?
No. Well, she is in Minnesota. It's a possibility, but, you know.
Yeah, it's something to dream about, hope for it.
And, of course, what an exciting result, you know, after all the tumult and all the fervor that actually Julia Louis-Dreyfus actually won the Emmy for Veep.
Oh, yeah, she actually did win the Emmy, and Now our plan is to make her vice president. And I guess the question is whether Biden will step down early to run for president so that she can slide in there.
Yeah. I noticed that Joe Biden showed up on Parks and Rec, so...
I know. I don't think he's going to show up on our show, but of course, in Veep, there's no one has any political party. So, I mean, we never, because it's built on the assumption that everyone screws everything up, and so it doesn't matter who's really in power.
Now, on that, we can get back to politics in general, but this is sort of more interesting, I think, is the, you know, the HBO version of politics. It seems like everything that, and I mean, she is over the top and hilarious, actually.
She is.
But all the stuff that goes on between her aides and the infighting in the office there seems very authentic. Is that where you come in on this production?
Well, actually, not necessarily. Although I obviously I know a lot about Washington and grew up there, as by the way did Julia. My being a producer of the show involves everything from looking at scripts and dailies and casting and hanging out on the set and all of that, and so we actually hire a couple of young people in Washington now to make sure that we don't screw up on authenticity. But but essentially,
you didn't have to put up money for it, did you?
Frank? No.
Okay.
No.
I what kind of producer?
Former theater critic. I know very well. You have to be insane to put money in any show business. Enterprise. What's the line from the producers? Never put your own money in the play.
Right.
No, producing in television isn't like producing in the theater. It's more like being an editor and a part of a collaborative team putting on a show with a lot of people involved. And we're about to get going again for the second season. We start shooting right after Thanksgiving. So
yeah, and it's so apropos because that thing on with the tears where she broke down in tears.
Absolutely.
We have that clip here, actually. If I could set it up for a second. I just thought we should get a hint of what she sounds like on this show in case people haven't
heard.
Please,
yeah, please.
This is she's supposed to endorse this congressman. Is a congressman? Is he running for governor?
He's running for governor.
He's running for governor. And she's
Ohio, in fact.
And she, right. And she's supposed to endorse him, but she is suddenly toxic from a few mistakes she has made. And so he doesn't want the endorsement, but she's there. It's all set up, and there's a big press thing and all this stuff, and it's supposed to be an endorsement, but he doesn't want the endorsement. And he tells her that in this meeting, and she it's the tear episode.
It is.
And it completely changes the political landscape as a result of tears, and that's this clip here.
You know, Roger, do you sometimes think about, I don't know, I give you this and you give me that, and black is up, but brown is down now. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in life or even just with love, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, aren't we just all finally just, you know, people?
Yeah, true words, ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I haven't seen my daughter in like 3 months. And Ted is just, you know, I don't know where he went, you know. You know, and I would love to go to that party, you know. I would like to be everywhere.
Mr. President, I'm sorry. But this doesn't give me any pleasure.
Don't you say it gives you no pleasure? When anybody ever says that, all they mean is that it does give them so much pleasure.
Look,
I know what that means.
Maybe you should make an address, okay? You talk about politics in America, working together.
I know how to give a mother speech. Don't you patronize me with your no jaw, you congressman, no jaw.
Okay. We have to go. Okay.
Get the f out.
Okay. Okay.
He was just not a nice man. I'll get you some tea, okay? Give me some tea. I'll just leave Mike. He can stand here with you.
That's her unctuous aide.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I've seen this scene 1,000 times, including when we were shooting it.
Yeah. It's brilliant. She's
and,
brilliant.
And I'm amazed at her because to produce, first of all, to produce those tears and produce that, like, on the spot, you know, and over again for different angles and different shots and so on. But, yeah, that's in some ways, it's, you know, the duplicity, the hypocrisy, that who can get an angle on someone else better. That is the essence of the show. And having, forget about my career as a journalist, just having grown up in Washington and been around it, not from a political family, but in the city and with a stepfather who was what we'd now call a K Street lawyer, I think. It was it really captures it. It's a very it's funny, but it's an unglamorous view of Washington. And you know, the offices look shabby. The people are not well dressed. It's the way Washington. It's much closer to the way Washington really is, and as it's usually presented by Hollywood.
And the underlings are always moving their desks around.
They're fighting over who can, you know, get an outlet to plug in their BlackBerry. and they're all conniving against each other. They're all looking to see whether there's a better job on the horizon. You know, it's a wonderful cast. A lot of them come from improvisational comedy like UCB and Second City, and I should say that, you know, the showrunner, the person who conceived the show and wrote it, is actually British. It's a guy named Armando Iannucci, who some people may know because he's done a brilliant series on the BBC for years called The Thick of It, parodying the British government. He also did what I think is the best movie about the run-up to about the war in Iraq, really, called In the Loop.
Yeah, I saw it. That's great.
And that's what gave us the idea that he could do Washington, because that was set in London and Washington. And he's a political junkie. He sits around reading Bob Caro books and really gets it, even though he lives in London.
Yeah. And then we talk about, like, in actual politics now. Obama's been doing this tear thing, doing this crying thing. And I'm wondering if you'll have the same. Now, for her, the character, for the Veep, in Veep, it changed her political fortune. She was no longer toxic once people saw that, you know, they were sympathetic and empathetic. It changed everything around for her. But what's with the Obama in tears thing?
He's a guy who tends to be cold, as many people have said. And I think I have to assume it was genuine. And since the election had already taken place and he's not running again for anything, I think we can assume it was sincere and heartfelt. And look, this was a brilliant campaign. It was underestimated, not just by the Republicans, but by many in the press. Even though Nate Silver's polling numbers showed that Obama was ahead really the whole time, and he was, apparently, no one wanted to believe it. And so he's really crossed some barrier here and is in a very good position to spend some political capital.
Yeah, but it was almost nostalgic. And actually, that's what I thought when he was here in Madison, too. He was giving a speech, and obviously he was exhausted, and he gave a very good speech and everything, but in the beginning it was almost like nostalgic. You know, he was almost like going through everything that happened, and the last time around, this is not the last time, this is this time, you know, and thanking all the people. It was almost like saying goodbye, and it was still in the campaign, in the heat of the campaign.
I think that's a really good point, because, look, this is a guy who's young, for one thing. I mean, he's, what, 51 now. He's had this really meteoric career. It is incredible that not very long ago he was sitting in the state legislature in Illinois and became president of the United States, and a historic one at that. And now it's really, you know, happening fast. I mean, he has something to be nostalgic about, because he'll still be a fairly young guy when he leaves office, and this is it. I mean, maybe he'll have I'm sure he'll have an interesting post-presidency. Maybe he'll campaign in the way Bill Clinton did this time for other candidates. But he probably, looking ahead, realizes that whatever happened in this election, including winning, which he did, he's now in the second half of this, second act.
This fiscal cliff thing, does it bother you as much as it does? I mean,
people
assume there is an actual...
Enough already. Let's go back to Petraeus.
Yeah, find out what's going on there. I'm interested in that too.
I think they'll make a deal. I think that the Republicans are going to have to get back to reality and realize they actually lost the election. They don't have all this leverage that they're pretending that they have. And I think it will be resolved. I think it will be resolved. I'm hoping it'll be resolved in consistent way with what Obama ran on, and Republicans are in a very weakened position. They don't really have many bargaining chips, and they don't want to look like obstructionists now after this election. I think the public's had enough of it.
Well, you know, to me, it's like, you know, WMDs.
Mm-hmm.
People talked about it so much, they thought they actually existed. They assumed they existed because they were talking about them. So, that, you know, to me, it's like, use a term like fiscal cliff. People think there is an actual, if not physical... a fiscal cliff. You know, there is metaphorical, a pretty good metaphor. It's actually there. There's a fiscal cliff, and we're inching towards it now.
Yes, and it's you're absolutely right. It's overwrought. It's you almost feel it was made up by someone like Frank Luntz. You know,
yeah.
it's some consultant or someone made it up.
The axis of cliff.
Yeah, and it's just not the case. And indeed, in general, the hysteria over the budget and the deficit has been wildly over the top, pushed there by everyone who doesn't want to talk about the fact that people need jobs and that unemployment remains a much more pressing issue than this. But and you know what's going to happen? It's going to be an anticlimax.
Yeah.
It's going to be settled, and then we'll go on to the next term of art, whatever it may be.
An anti-cliffmax.
Yes.
I remember the guys in the House said they were talking about this during the election at some point. They said, if Romney gets in, we'll pull that business out immediately. You know, it's not even going to be there.
Right. Exactly. And so, it's an interesting time. I think that Obama. Second terms tend to be difficult for all presidents, but I think Obama is in a good position to make something of his because there's a lot of work to be done and beyond the so-called fiscal cliff. And I'm hoping that he'll seize the moment because I think he does have a moment here.
Yeah. Didn't you think, too, this was sort of like a loss for big money? I thought that was the most encouraging thing about it. I mean, all the tens of millions of dollars that poured into Wisconsin politics by outside groups and so forth trying to affect it. And they lost. That's rather amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. It really is amazing. And, you know, and to see Karl Rove, who was responsible for the spending a lot of that money through his various American Crossroads PACs, come up so short, you know, you feel that... Well, David Letterman had a great line last week. You know, don't be surprised if you read that the Koch brothers have beaten Karl Rove up because the money was so wasted, which doesn't solve the root problem. And I think one thing we have to remember, and this is something I read about in my new piece at New York Magazine, 48% did vote for a candidate who was propped up by money and who was really – I feel a nothing. I think even most Republicans in their heart of hearts felt he was a nothing, which is why 2/3 to 3/4 of Republicans voted against him in the primaries until he finally became the last man standing by default. That this guy, who's sort of a hologram, whose record we never really knew, whose taxes we never saw, whose policy plans had no numbers in them, that this guy got as far as he did is chastening. And we shouldn't – and a slicker guy, a slicker liar than Romney, might have been put over by this money. And we also have to remember that the money was countered by money from the other side. Obama had to raise, he and the Democrats outside groups had to and did raise the money to counter it. So there's something off about this system. And while I agree with you, it's great that the money didn't pay off for the right this time. It could another time that we have to reform this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we will, but we should.
Well, I thought we had at one point, didn't we?
Yeah, that gone and forgotten now.
Yeah, and that was the Supreme Court, didn't it? It threw that in the trash, right?
Yeah, well, that's a really great thing about this election because if there are vacancies on the Supreme Court, as there are likely to be, maybe we can find a court that can reconsider some of these cases.
Okay. All right, now General Petraeus.
Yes.
And, of course, his biography, All In.
Yeah, I know. That's really – I mean, there was New York Magazine yesterday put up 4 or 5 really hilarious versions of what the New York Post headline would be. For those who aren't familiar with the New York Post, it's out on a limb. And actually, they came up with one this morning – I guess I can say, since it's on the front page of a newspaper in New York, that was not thought of by my magazine, but it's pretty very New York Posty, which was Cloak and Shag Her.
Did they run that?
The Post ran that. No.
Yeah.
We had once, this guy, Dan Amira, who wrote the hilarious, we had Spyfall. I can't even remember anymore. We had a couple that I can't say on the air. But anyway. Yeah.
The Bond thing. You did the Bond thing.
The Bond thing, yeah. But it's a fascinating story. And, of course, immediately the right, yesterday when the news started surface, convinced itself this was something to do with a Benghazi cover-up. it's kind of a tragic story. I mean, it seems, if I understand it correctly, yeah. It's less, you wonder why Woody have to resign for really? Having an affair. Wasn't someone who worked for him, or, you know, there's no workplace issue involved. Yeah. But I guess it involves compromised email and computers, and that you cannot have in someone who's running the intelligence operation in the United States.
It should be between him and Mrs. General Petraeus, I would think.
Yes. And it's sort of shocking. I have to say, it's just when we thought we'd had enough news this week, the news just keeps on giving. I'm ready for a rest from...
Well, don't you want to look at 2016?
Oh, God, no.
I don't think anybody does. There may not be a campaign at all in 2016, and we'll just, you know,
find
some other way of running things.
I think people are sick of this election. No matter what side they're on, there was too much. And if you were in states like Wisconsin, this is not a problem we had in New York, so much advertising, so much money poured in. It's revolting. I was in Nevada at the height of the campaign, which had Las Vegas had the single largest number of ads dumped on it of any market in the country. And they were even cutting back, like, the evening news shows to get more commercials jammed in. And it's repellent. It makes you feel like you want to take a bath or shower.
It was really terrible, because on the evening news they dropped all the drug commercials, all the pharmaceuticals, which are geared to people my age, and I no longer knew what I should be taking. And they never tell you what it's for. They said, but you know.
No, but they do tell you the potential side effects, which is put the fear of God in anybody.
Right. I love those.
Me too. They always seem to involve 6-hour erections. I don't know.
Are you saying that's unusual?
Well, not for me. I don't know about you.
I don't think we'll go there. But I do like the anti-anxiety drugs that warn if you feel suicidal, discontinue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay then. What else then? You don't want to talk about politics, and we talked about Veep. I don't know where to go from here.
Well,
you know, I will tell you that you almost ruined my life when you quit writing your column at the New York Times. Because it was the only consolation I had for 8 years of George W. Bush administration and all that stuff going on. No one else actually was getting to the heart of it except Frank Rich, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. I was proud of the column, and I think you could understand from my point of view, I'd done that column for, you know, almost 17 years. No. I wanted to write longer pieces, and I hope better pieces than, you know, the same
story. No, I don't understand, is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't accept that. I don't understand that. What was wrong with it?
Other things.
And then Barry Blitt was illustrating it most of the time?
Barry, the last 2 or 3 years, Barry was with me as a sort of a team, and he's a brilliant, obviously, cartoonist.
He's the best.
For The New Yorker, and The New Yorker gave him dispensation to work with me, and then, you know, when I decided I wanted to do something else, he decided the same, you know, and has done brilliant stuff in The New Yorker and elsewhere since we shut down the column.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the Times itself was so out of sync with what was going on in the lead up to Iraq and so forth, and actually bought the story, you know, that was going on.
And promoted the story.
Promoted it. It was their worst omission since the Holocaust, I think. They missed the Holocaust, too.
The Holocaust was like on page 22 with the mattress ad.
Yeah, so they did have that, you know, previously. But then it was Iraq was a major, and you were the one guy who was saying, you know, when... looking at some of these, you look at the aluminum tubes, for example, you know, look at something, you know, and see what really exists, you know.
Yeah, well, look, I was happy to play that role, and that was a very dark period for the Times, which they really have, not that the paper is perfect or any journalistic institution is perfect, but they really, it's too late, unfortunately, to keep us from going to war, but in the aftermath of that disaster, there was a real house cleaning. A change of procedures, and a good thing too. Now the biggest threat to something as invaluable as the Times are less about journalism than about the economics, and we have to hope that that, too, they'll find a fix for.
Yeah. So what's next for Frank Rich now? Are we talking more producer, Frank Rich producer?
I've been involved with HBO going back to when I was at the paper. I've been for like 5 years, and I'm involved with some other stuff there. And although Veep's the first show I've been involved with as a producer, but you know, also my main thing is writing. I mean, I write, you know, for long pieces for New York Magazine every month about the same things. And
same thing every month, or isn't it? Doesn't that get old?
Not the same thing every month. You know, the same my themes. You know, politics and culture. I have a piece about the election that just went up. It's out in the magazine on Monday, but just went up at New NY Mag last night, called Fantasyland, which I think I'm proud of.
What's the gist of that one, Frank?
The gist of that one is,
so you don't have to buy it.
Well, you can read it for free online. But the gist of it is that we're living in a culture where anyone can almost say anything and get away with it. And it traces right back to what we were just talking about. It traces back to the Bush administration convincing Americans that Saddam Hussein had WMD and that the hijackers of 9/11 were Iraqis, which, of course, none of them were. And it's just gotten worse. And it gets back to my point about Romney, which is he was unusually mendacious, even by the standards of politics. I mean, all politicians do lie, but he got very far, and you know, a lot of people get far in our culture. Lance Armstrong got far. Joe Paterno got far. The point of the piece, although it's mainly about the election and about the Republicans, is that truth and the facts have been destabilized in America. And we now have truthiness, as Stephen Colbert coined it during the Bush years.
Right.
And what's fascinating about the Republicans is that they're so in denial, so cut off from reality, that they actually did think they were going to win. And their response to any empirical evidence, just as they don't believe that climate change is happening, they don't believe in Keynesian economics, their belief about the polls were they all had to be biased. It couldn't possibly be true. Peggy Noonan wrote a piece the day before the election saying that she counted yard signs in the neighborhood in Florida and she knew Romney was going to win. So we have a major political party. It came back and bit them this time because they drank their own Kool-Aid, but we have a major political party that simply doesn't believe in facts. They have their own polls and they have their own view of history and view of and what's going on in the environment and the rest of it. And they're not alone. There's some of that is afoot elsewhere in America in our culture. And I think it's a concern going forward.
Fantasyland.
It's at nymag.com for those who want to look at it. But anyway, to get back to me, so I'm going to keep doing this as I have been for the past year and trying to circle
anyway, to get back to me, I like that, Frank.
Hmm?
Anyway, to get back to me is a good way to start a sentence.
Exactly. So anyway, that's my story.
It's a good one. Thank you, Frank. Nice talking to you, as always.
Great talking to you, and congratulations to the entire state. What a heroic role played in turning back, including its so-called favorite son.
Thank you, Frank Rich.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, we're heroes, we don't like to admit it. It's not like us to play it up, you know, heroism. But if it's there, it's there. I say. Okay there.
Okay there.
How you doing?
Oh, good.
That's good. Looking good.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Yeah? Have a rested couple of weeks? I haven't seen you in a while.
No.
No?
Since Fargo.
Yeah. So you didn't have arrested? I mean, not that you were arrested. That
no,
like
I wasn't
that.
Arrested, no. Yeah. I was detained for a while, but ultimately I wasn't arrested.
They can't prove a thing.
No, not a thing.
Okay. All right. Jeff, you good?
Yep.
Kids
yes.
good?
Yes.
Everything good?
Yes.
Good. Christmas coming up? Yes. A lot of pressure on you.
They still believe in Santa Claus. Well.
Ooh. Don't say anything then.
Sorry. Why wouldn't they?
No, okay. Little song here, maybe.
Yeah. this is a tune by the pianist Tad Dameron called On a Misty Night.
On a misty night
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, no. All right. Thank you. Shirley Dupree? Debbie's. Yeah. How are you? Milwaukee, what do you enjoy doing in your spare time? Nothing. I am so in need of a hobby because the girls are out of the house now. I can't do the fatherhood things, you know, which is mainly schlepping anyway. Schlepping and buying. Paying. But they're buying. So I need a, I was thinking Civil War miniatures, painting them. Because I'm desperate. I really need some. Plus, you know, I think looking ahead, I need a retirement skill. I don't have a single retirement skill. Do you have a hobby?
Yes.
What do you do?
I sit at, I think about what I did.
All right, I can do that.
I've been a lifelong farmer, so I've got a lot to, you know, think about.
You go back over crop yields and stuff?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. At farming time, you know, the season, the harvest, the planting, you get all excited about getting out and doing it, but, heck, it's easier sitting here.
And your name is?
Larry Hopkins.
Larry. Nice to meet you, Larry. I'm going to do like Larry. See, but I don't even have crops to remember, though. What am I talking about? Crop? I don't have any crops to remember.
Huh? You'll have to get out and do that.
You wish you would have left more fields fallow?
I tell you, it's. I actually am glad I'm out of farming because the technology that has come into cropping and livestock the last few years is, it just blows your mind. You just can't believe it. Yeah.
Well, nice to have you here. Thanks for that was helpful. I'll think about what I can think about. What does forward mean to you? Yolita Gallagher? Hey, how are you? What does it mean to you? A direction, really, is what I think of. But
retirement.
Forward means retirement to you? That's what she's saying up there on the Capitol? Go retire. Lady retirement on top of the Capitol. Yeah, I don't know. It's absolutely meaningless. It's been used so much now. Forward, reverse. Okay, that's about it. I'll go with that. As a slogan, it's pretty bad because, who says backward? I will take you backward. Doesn't work as a slogan. We're running low on time, aren't we?
A little bit.
Yeah? How much time I got?
You have about 16 minutes.
16 minutes?
Yeah.
I got 1 minute till the quiz, though.
Yes, that's right.
You're like my accountant. You give me all these figures and then...
And a bill.
Okay. Come back here. Etiquette question. How long is it proper to leave our Obama signs up in the front yard? Well, we have some neighbors who still have their FDR signs up, so. I think it's like your Christmas lights. You can't really tell anybody because they'll do what they want. And Dominic, one last one here. Born in Malaysia. How much did I weigh when I was born? Okay, I have no idea, Dominic. How much, I would say, 10 pounds, 1 ounce. 12 and three quarters, holy cow. I wouldn't have guessed that, Dominic. But you haven't put on that many since, so I'll say that for you. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And before we can do that, we have to have the four disclaimers. You take those, and I'll meet you at the aisle, okay? Find out who can and cannot participate on the What Do You Know quiz, which is a certified quiz. And you are?
Noreen O'Brien.
Hi, Noreen. Are you from here?
Not originally, no.
Where are you from now?
I'm from Fond du Lac, and okay. I used to be from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, Noreen.
Oh, thanks. I get to hold the microphone. Okay. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, kind of miss the robocalls. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Good. You can do that for a living. We can keep that because we don't pay cash here. But you can... Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What Do You Know quiz and would like to indicate that by raising your hand. And all right, come on. Come on. Yes. All right. It's not just because you're the only guy who raised his hand. I want you to know that. There's something about you. You have a je ne sais quoi. And you are?
Bill Burke.
Bill, are you from around here?
Well, from Milwaukee originally. I live in Dallas now.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that a little earlier in the show. And what brought you to Dallas from Milwaukee?
Work, and I came up for a Mark Knopfler concert.
And you stayed?
Yep, stayed and actually went. Been listening to your show for years, so I came up to see you as well.
When was that concert?
Well, I saw him in Milwaukee on Thursday night and Chicago on Friday night.
Oh, you're here for the Mark. I thought you went to Dallas for
No.
Bill, right?
Yeah, Bill.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Geez, I'm absolutely stumped.
Pulling out of wherever you pull things out of.
I can make up funny answers.
Okay, that's good. See? Anything you say is right, Bill, as far as I'm concerned. Come on down here if you would. Join me as we ascend the What Do You Know stage. We are ascending right now. You have a seat right there, Bill. I'll put this up because you're a big guy. All right. So what field of enterprise are you in?
I repair magnetic resonance imaging scanners.
Oh, I used to
do
that.
I'm an engineer.
I used to do that, but it was more of a hobby thing, you know. Used to tinker with them. Not so much repair. I'd tinker with them, you know. But then I always have a screw left over when I was done. Does that happen to you?
You never know where the extra parts go.
No, but you can resonate them and find them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's an interesting thing. How did you get into that?
Well, living in Milwaukee, GE is based there.
Oh.
And I worked for GE for years. And
GE resonating?
Yep, GE. Generous Electric.
Yeah. Do they have a resonating department or section?
They have a whole department that's...
That resonates?
It doesn't always resonate, no.
No.
It okay. Misfires sometimes.
Were you trained as a resonator or how did that... I mean, you're an engineer?
Engineer, and I was trained by them, yeah.
Okay. But you were what kind of engineer were you then?
Electrical.
Okay, I know those various kinds.
Yeah.
I know two, electrical and civil.
And railroad.
And a choo-choo engineer. Okay, that's cool. Well, that's cool. And did you go to school in Wisconsin?
UW. Yep.
All right. Varsity. Okay. Forgot it, huh? Okay. That's cool. And you came up for the concert. So you're still living down there?
In Dallas, yeah. I've been there almost 20 years now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But they came for the concert.
Yep.
That was Dylan concert, though, wasn't it? Did you know Bob Dylan was there, too?
Yeah, Bob Dylan. Well, personally, I'm not a Bob Dylan fan, so I stayed for the Mark Knopfler part of it.
You mean you left when Bob Dylan came on?
Actually,
why didn't you sleep like
on.
All the other guys in the audience?
Exactly.
Catch a few wings. I read a review that said two people were sleeping, and I don't know. Anyhow, at least Dylan wasn't one of them, so that's a good sign. All right, and a good. Did you enjoy it at least?
A wonderful concert.
Yeah, Mark Knopfler.
Yep.
Got to say the Canay.
Canay.
And Knopfler. All right, so someone out there plays along with you on this quiz. You know how it works, Bill?
Yeah. Yep, listened to it many times.
Okay, good. And how does that work then, Sarah?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. Uh-huh. That's also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WAC-NOW and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. If there is a most healthy diet, and let's assume there is a diet that would be most healthy, one in how many Americans actually seem to have it as adults? Assuming there is a most healthy diet, the most healthy diet that you could be eating, one in how many Americans actually have them? Like one in how many? Let's go to the phones right now. And Ken's on the line from Cleveland. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Michael.
You a healthy eater?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Would you say you have a healthy diet?
I have a healthy diet maybe 7 out of 10 times, which is probably higher than the number of Americans.
Okay. So then what would you say as far as Americans overall, adults, in terms of having one in how many have a healthy diet, eat a healthy diet?
1 in 4 Americans.
That's close enough.
All right.
It's 1 in 5, but that's not going to happen soon. And that's surprisingly high and I think untrue. I think it's totally erroneous. It's like maybe 100, you know, really. When people say they have a healthy diet, but okay. Ken, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Mighty fine, thanks. How are you?
Real good.
He's here for all your resonating needs, all your magnetic resonating, no other resonating. And Ken, what do you do there in Cleveland?
I do benefits online enrollment setup.
Okay. That's good. I keep meaning to do that. Okay, and two of you work together. Now you're a team, okay? This is no competition here. Okay? And the two of you work together as a brain trust. And what's on the agenda there, Sarah?
Well, the
Categories? Categories, that's categories, the word I'm searching for.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Are those your socks striped, or is that your shoe?
That is, in fact, my sock, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. what were you saying, Bill? Oh, nothing. Okay. Ken, what would you like out of those categories?
How about current events, if we haven't tapped them all?
Current events, yes. All in is whose biography? Current events.
Talking about this.
Yeah, it was on earlier, and of course I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm. Mark Knopfler, maybe.
Mark Knopfler?
Cloak
and...
David Petraeus.
David Petraeus.
Yes, that's right, Petraeus, General Petraeus. All in, look for it. It's a bestseller all of a sudden, I'll tell you that. And that would be
one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left then, Sarah?
People, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Bill?
I'd go for things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Okay, should have learned this in school for pimples. Do you hold the mayo or you dollop it on? Mayonnaise for pimples.
Boy, that's a good one.
What, you never tried this?
The mayo.
I can't believe you never even tried. You what?
I've always held the mayo.
So you say no mayo for pimples? This is important. We should know this.
I'm on the far end of the medical field.
Yeah.
Closer than me.
Mayo, yes or no?
I'd say no.
Okay, hold the mayo. You're right. No mayo, kids. You can skip the mayo. We know that's not going to work.
That's 2 right and 0 wrong.
But Hellman's is probably the best if you're going to try it anyway. And go ahead, yes. What's left?
We have people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to Ken.
Let's try science.
Science. Okay, mice can sing, but they can't one of the following. They can't A, remember the words, B, carry a tune, or C, harmonize. Mice can sing, but they can't remember the words, carry a tune, or harmonize.
Ken, what do you think?
Well, they sound like they harmonize, but it might not be intentional.
Well, intentional or not.
You can't imagine they have a whole lot of memory. Hard to believe they'd remember the words.
Oh, it is hard to believe.
No, I think that's it.
I don't believe it.
I guess the whole concept's a little hard to believe.
The whole thing is. Yeah. The question is hard to believe. The show is hard to believe. We think about it. Can't go too far with that.
I don't think they even bother with the words. So why would they remember them?
So you're saying, A, you remember the words. They can't remember the words.
They can't remember the words.
Yeah, I can't remember the words.
That's right. Yeah. Whoa, you've won the quiz. All right. Holy cow. You guys are too smart for this show. Why don't you try Wait, Don't Tell Me if you're so smart. Well, what the heck? They could
go for the mother load.
They could. You mean, is it a one-for situation? I think it is.
I think it is a one-for situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're saying, Sarah, let me get this straight.
Oh, gosh.
You're saying they could quit now and take...
a bunch of great prizes home.
Not that great, though, because that's not the whole...
Oh, they're great. Don't kid yourself.
Or they could go for the one additional, the special one-for...
Uh-huh.
And win the what?
Even more fantastic prizes.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Giant, whatever that we call that. Cornucopia.
Yeah, I go for it.
You want to go for it?
Absolutely.
Well, Ken, you want to go for it? Consult your partner.
I want to go for it.
They want to go for it. You got to get it right. Get it wrong, you get nothing. You get nothing if you get it wrong. We didn't mention that. So what's left there, Sarah?
People, places, or odds and ends.
People, places, odds and ends. Is it back to Ken then?
Yeah. Back to Bill, I pick science.
I'm not much of a people, so yeah. I guess odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Is that okay with you, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
We'll make sure we're in agreement here. Odds and ends. Could be anything. Does making a fist improve your chances of making the shot, kick, or throw in sports? Making a fist first. A lot of guys make them afterwards. Is it too late, is what we're saying. Does making a fist improve your chances of making the shot, the kick, or the throw in sports?
Talk about entities.
For everything.
I think it helps people. It helps one focus. Bill, do you make a fist before you make a repair? Does it help?
No, the customers frequently make them at me. But, I got to think throw because it takes a certain amount of concentration to get it where you want it to go. I would guess that kick. I have no idea. I would go.
No,
for
it's
that.
Not. That's not the question. Though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Any of you.
It's question. Does it improve your performance?
Does it improve
the chances of making your shot or whatever or your kick if you do a little fist?
Of course, more on point. I don't think so. I really don't.
Have you ever been wrong, Bill? Ask it.
My wife would tell you frequently.
Okay, all right. Keep that in mind. Ken, what do you think?
I think it helps the focus, and I think it would help improve performance.
Huh. Ala Romney, I'll change my position, and I'm with you 100%.
He's taking a Romney. You're right, Ken.
Okay.
It does work. So do it. But remember to kick the ball afterwards. You won everything we have. What is that, Sarah?
Bill, you've won Wisconsin Bounty and a choice assortment of handcrafted organic cheeses, along with their perfect companion, selected by the cheesemonger at Fromagination, located on Madison's historic Capitol Square. You can enter the exotic world of Chinese art and animals, decorative objects from the Bells Museum collection of Asian and Judaic art, a book from Bells Museum in Memphis. Add some sound with Paul Lindemeyer's book, Celebrating the Saxophone, which chronicles the instrument's history beginning in the 1840s workshops of Adolf Sax from Quill Books, and combine sight and sound reading Cinemental Journeys, an uncommon guide to classic movie theaters in Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa by Mike and Vicki Walker from How High the Moon Publishing. I won't read the rest of these. I will just say, Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we curdle up to Cheese Underground's Jeannie Carpenter. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And now, the man who'd rather talk about a Montgomery Clift, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. There's a joke no one will get. Okay, so we got this here then. Okay. All right, just this here now. Because of all the election frenzy, the feeding frenzy that's been going on for months and months and months.
Tumult.
I have here five things you might have missed during the election. There was other news, but it wasn't reported. So five things you might have missed during the election tumult. Number one is an Austrian Goffin's cockatoo named Figaro learned how to use a tool to attract the BBC. Oh. Very interesting. Number two, Chris Brown and Rihanna's Nobody's Business marks their first collaboration since 2009's Domestic Violence. Also very big for them. Number three, the iPad Mini came out and the word is pretty good, but pricey. Number four that you might have missed during the election frenzy, Knock, a San Diego white whale, imitated the speech of his keeper who was initially offended before realizing where it was coming from, from the whale. And five, there's still no hockey, but you probably got that news. So that's five things you might have missed during the election frenzy. That's okay, don't thank me. It's a public service, because we're public radio. That's what we do. It's all public service. And now, you know, like we do each week at this time, actual memos sent in by actual listeners and communications of various sorts. Yes, thanks for the memos. This just came off a box that was mailed to our office, actually, that contained...
white powder?
No, some sort of liquor, I guess.
I didn't didn't hear about that.
I didn't hear about it either. I just got this thing from the box. That's all I got for this lousy look. But it was somewhat amusing, and it's a FedEx thing. It said, this package contains alcohol, adult signature required, check ID, recipient must be at least 21 years old. Do not deliver to an intoxicated person. Well, who needs it more, really, than... Okay, thank you for that. Okay. And just some other things here. Hi, Michael. It's John and Mary Knight. I'm sure you do not remember me, John, because it was back in the early 90s when I played and won the quiz. Oh, I remember that, John, like it was yesterday. At the studio on University Avenue. Yes, I remember that. You may remember my wife, Mary. Oh, do I remember your wife? Because she gave you a brief Reiki session on the donut table. Huh? Reiki. I don't care what you call it. It was on the donut table. That's how I know. It was very relaxing. Not for me. She is a Reiki master. I don't remember any of this, but it sounds like I used to have great times. We now live in Sun City. Well, that's the way things are going. Reiki master 1 minute, Sun City the next. In Arizona. The city has its own library, and the memo enclosed was directed at some of the thoughtless book borrowers. Best wishes, John and Mary Knight. Okay, let's see what you got here. Your cooperation is desperately needed. Please remember that the R.H. Johnson Library is your community lending library. You borrow, but do not own individual library items, so please be considerate of your neighbors who will borrow the books and other materials left after you. It is just common courtesy not to make marks inside the cover or on the outside of the pages. Do not eat, drink, or smoke while reading a library book. Do not read in the bathtub or pool. Do not write in the margins. Do not underline or cross out words on the pages. Do not edit. Do not tape your receipt inside the book. Remember, replacing damaged materials wastes money that could be used to purchase new items. In order to avoid being charged a replacement fee, please call the library immediately if you discover the item you just checked out has damage. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's that. Not that good. Okay, I agree. How about this then? Well, thank you. And I remember that Reiki. I just remembered how to say it, but it was really on a donut table with the crawlers all around me. Or crawlers, some people say. All right. Here's another one here. How about this? A posting of a job on Virginia Jobs that someone sent in. Working title, Mouse Colony Manager. The University of Virginia. Mouse Colony Manager. Let's see what you got to do for that job description. This position exists to manage a large and complex mouse colony. If they're singing, I don't want the job. I don't care. I hate it when they make up words. Responsibilities include but are not limited to the following: working with lab director and someone else to review and maintain various colony strains, management and selection of breeders. Well, I could do that. Review, management, maintenance, and enforcement of animal protocols and lab procedures regarding mouse usage. Perform record keeping and data entry of mouse colonies with precision and timeliness, management and validation of mouse databases. Okay, I guess that's not even good either. Okay. Seemed promising. How about this one? Also library related, as earlier. Two library staff, patron with a problem, staff. An upset patron called yesterday. Saturday, his girlfriend placed one of his personal books in the book drop. I told him we would look for it. We have, and it has not surfaced. The cause of his agitation is that he placed his ownership certificate to his automobile in the pages of this book, and he is in the process of selling it. The title is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Auto Care. But you knew it would be. If you have the book or have seen it, please let me know pronto. Some patrons, defying logic, blame us for this, their own handiwork. Thanks from the librarian. Okay, we hit one there, I think. Thank you. For those memos, those notes, those letters, whatever you have. Where might one send all those things to?
If they want to send in memos, they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Hey, thank you, sir. Cheese Whiz is going on right now in this very building. Cheese World, cheeses, whatever they call it. Right now, we have from that very important convocation of cheesemakers right now, Gene Carpenter, who herself is from the Cheese Underground. Oh, look at you, brought a cheese with you. Is that nice? What a cute little cheese that is. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, I have a little problem with the word artisan.
Hmm.
Because I assume it means somebody who's never made a cheese before would be called an artisan cheesemaker, right?
Well, that would be an amateur cheesemaker.
Amateur artisan. What does artisan exactly mean?
Artisan means it's made by hand.
Okay.
It's made small batches.
Right.
The cheesemaker has a relationship with the milk and knows.
Wait a minute. Let's take a take a step back here. Now, you farm. Did you have a relationship with your milk? He won't say. His wife is right there. Relationship with the milk, and what sort of relationship is
that? Well, that means...
Friendly, or...
Yes. Intimate, almost. It means that the cheesemaker...
Now, you say intimate, almost.
It means that he or she knows exactly the farm where that milk came from.
Okay.
He knows the farmer. He knows the cows. The cows probably have names.
The cows know him, I bet, because he's been out there so much.
Probably, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if cows
do cows,
recognize
cows
people,
remember
but...
people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. Okay. Some guys they step on continually, right? All right. And so, all right, so that's an artisan is all those things then.
Yes, yes.
And but there's the interesting cheesemaker personality, and reading some of the material about it is that they don't usually talk to one another. Is that because they all have their secrets?
No.
And they don't want to, or they just are antisocial?
No, I always say that and cheesemakers' wives will usually tell you this, is that cheesemakers are married to their vats. It means that they don't...
They're clobber. They're clobber. It means the world to them, right?
They don't get out of the cheese make room very much. You know, the making cheese is their thing. That's what they like to do. And so they don't
What about
get
cutting
out.
The cheese? Is that the same way? Do they get out of the room to do that at least?
Not most of the ones I know, sadly.
No, sadly. Yeah. So, but you're saying, so then what is it then? I mean, this thing brings together cheesemakers.
It does.
Like for the first time in a lot of...
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So...
Not cheesemaker conventions usually, right?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Yeah. I don't think there are cheesemaker conventions, but maybe I should start one.
This is sort of what this is, isn't it?
Yeah, this is. So all the basically every Wisconsin artisan farmstead and specialty cheesemaker is in the same room at the same time sampling their cheeses.
And each other's cheeses or just their own?
Well, the public is invited, so it's a public event. But then what happens after it closes to the public, then the cheesemakers start talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And very often you'll have some collaborations, you'll have some new ideas.
Collaborations?
Right, right. So it,
little cheese joke there.
I don't think they got it.
No. Clobber is very important in the cheese process.
Yes, yes, very important. Yeah. But yeah, cheesemakers, they work all the time. They're really good at making cheese.
Don't they have day jobs, most of them?
You know, it's getting to the point where you can actually make money making artisan cheese in Wisconsin, and I'm very proud to say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cheesemakers arrive.
Yes.
You have nothing to lose but your curds.
Because you should. You should get paid, and you should be able to make a living doing what you love. And thankfully enough, consumers...
Wait a minute. This gets better. I don't believe it. We got... You got somewhere you got to be? Oh, you're going to get the cheese? Come on, we got some right here. I'll share this with you. God, people are in the middle of the show. Would you walk out?
I may not get invited back.
All right. Okay. And then during this, you're a cheesemaker yourself.
I am not. I'm an educator. So
you're an educator.
So I talk about, I write about, and I eat cheese for a living.
Well, doesn't it make you want to make cheese yourself? Have you tried
making
cheese?
It's a lot of work, dude. Yeah. Have you ever made cheese?
It's a lot of work, dude. What is this?
I've made cheese with cheesemakers. It's
like I had my daughter back in the house.
I don't want to work that hard.
Huh?
It's super hard work.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's 10 hours in a row.
And there's a lot that can go wrong. I was reading
you
up on
you have to
it.
Be strong. Yeah,
you know, I try to... You know, you can make mozzarella at home, right?
Yes.
And it's, they say, 30-minute mozzarella. And so I've done this like several times. Go through the whole thing. I have all the stuff, the milk, and then the vat, and then... And then I forget I don't have Rennet. Yeah, we can't run out and get Rennet.
Yeah, it's a serious.
Where are you going to run out and get Rennet? You got to slay a goat or something. Take out its glands and get the right glands. And, you know, I was going to do that. And that's not 30 minutes. Then we're talking about a series of days to make a 30-minute cheese.
Yeah, it's much harder than advertised.
Yeah. Okay, and this you brought a cheese with you here.
So
did you take this from one of those cheese makers?
I did. I totally stole it. And so the cheese that I brought, it's really remarkably.
Ooh.
Listen to the audience.
Very
ooh
pretty.
And aha.
It's very pretty.
Yes, so this is an artisan cheese made in small batches by Chris Raleigh at Raleigh Cheese in Schulzburg, Wisconsin.
Raleigh.
Oh, there's some Schulzburg fans.
Oh, you know him? You all know him? How come you all know him? And most of you never heard of me. Okay, cool.
It's called Red Rock. It has double the annatto that a normal orange cheddar. Annatto, A-N-N-A-T-T-O.
I know how to spell it, but
that's
what
how,
is it?
Oh, that's how cheddar becomes orange.
Oh, you it's take a dye?
It's a vegetable dye.
Okay.
So this has double the annatto of a regular orange cheddar, so it's a super deep orange, mm-hmm. almost red.
Very orange.
It's aged in a cave, so it has this really beautiful white natural mold along the outside.
Is there a cave there in Schulzburg?
Built one. He just
how
built
can you build
one.
A cave?
Well, you dig a hole in the ground. And
that's like a fiscal cliff. I don't think you can actually build a cave. Is it fiscal
no,
cave?
He worked with the state of Wisconsin. It's totally legal. It's so.
I wasn't accusing.
Okay.
I wasn't accusing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's
perfectly
legal.
But no, he built his own cave, mm-hmm. and he's aging it underground on wooden planks. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's phenomenal. Do you want?
And this is it's called what?
Red Rock.
But what sort of a cheese is it?
It's an American original. So that means that it's never been created before.
It's American cheese?
It's a cheddar. It's a cheddar with
so it's
blue
like a,
veining.
Like a Kraft?
No.
Because I notice it's not sliced.
Right. This is not really. Let me cut it for you.
It's an American original, and that's really what you're all about, right?
Right.
In this group.
Yeah.
These are all like they're reinventing the cheese.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
Can you eat it on air? Can you do that?
And
see
yes.
if you like it.
Yeah.
I better do it.
John. John is my taster. John is my taster for most things, but I'll just take this one here just to stay in the flow of things.
Well, geez, after all this, I hope they like it.
Mm. Sarah.
Yeah.
Mm. Sarah will have some.
Oh, very good.
Mm. I'm pro cheese.
Here you go.
Oh, Sarah!
What are you? You're Michael Finley? You dropped it?
I think John's going to
should have had that one. That was right in her mitt.
Mmm, yummy.
You're Michael Nick.
It's floor cheese. I like floor cheese.
Unbelievable. It's delicious.
It is.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and this is what comes from American ingenuity. Mm. You know, American cheesemakers.
Jeff, did you want some?
Sure. Oh,
throw
let's
it
cut some
I'll
more.
Throw one.
Okay.
There you go. That was, all right. You could have had it. You could have had it. It wasn't really a bad pass.
We need to have soup people on next time. That would be fun, throwing soup around this.
Throwing soup, yes. And crackers after it. Mmm, wonderful, wonderful.
Go ahead. I'll let you keep eating. But this is a great example of American ingenuity. This is what American cheesemakers are becoming known for.
Uh-huh.
You know, Europe has their very much old world traditions.
Denmark, for example.
Yeah, they have their Brie, they have their Goudas. You know, their English, their Stilton. But Americans, we're not bound by all of those old traditions and rules.
You
can kind of make stuff up. And this is what happens when you make stuff up. It's pretty cool.
It's
a really good cheese.
Very, you would have loved it. I wish we had enough to go around.
Yeah.
I can throw a couple pieces out there. Oh! Good grab. Over there, yep.
Oh.
A little piece there. Oh! Cheese catching is a lost art. It really is.
Did you hear that? You're supposed to make a fist first. That will help with your performance.
Oh, make a fist.
Yes.
Okay. So many errors in the audience. It's unbelievable. I'll just try one more. Okay, this is really not a good thing.
You may not get invited back as a,
Jerusalem Presbyterians. It's a long throw to Jerusalem, but I'm going
to. Oh, he has to stand up for this one.
Oh.
E for effort.
Well, it's fabulous, and then there's an award for the best, the most innovative cheese or something. And
you know, there isn't, but I want to start one.
Yeah,
at my festival. I don't have one yet. I want to make it like a People's Choice Award. I think that's going to be next year. This happens every year. Next year is November 1st and 2nd here at the Banana Terrace.
And I think what you're saying to me is like the American artisan cheese movement started in the place where the wine American wines were.
Yeah, exactly.
Many years ago.
20 years
and
ago.
Now they are, in many cases, outranking European varietals.
Right. Yeah,
that sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
It should too.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's are we at that point yet where American cheeses have that
sort of I mean,
world acclaim?
At world contests, American cheeses are starting to win. They're starting to beat the European cheeses. This isn't making the Europeans very happy.
No.
We think it's cool.
Yeah. Well, they're not happy anyhow. They got lots of problems going on. This is delicious cheese. And who made this again?
This is Raleigh cheese in Schulzburg.
Raleigh cheese. Is there Raleigh in Raleigh cheese?
Roelli is their last name.
Okay.
It's Chris Raleigh.
Chris Raleigh.
Great guy.
Fabulous. Thank you for bringing that in. And it's all going on here at the Monona Terrace right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So don't leave now, but after the show, go over there. Thank you, Jean, very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for bringing that in. Wonderful. Promoting local cheese is what we're all about here. What do you know?
Cheese Whiz.
Yeah. Very nice. Good cheese.
Yeah.
You ever try making cheese?
No.
No? It's really easy. 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes. And then you realize you don't
and
have
it. And the rent it. Every time. You think I would
know.
Oh,
did you read the thing before you... Where do you get the rent it from? Like a farm or something? Or do
I don't know. You got to get it from a dead goat, I think.
Well...
I think, is it the adrenal gland of a goat or
thyroid
or something? Anyone know?
Stomach lining.
Huh?
It's a stomach lining, I think. Yeah.
Stomach lining of a goat? Would a puggle work? No. Thank God.
Tina, shut your ears. God.
Innovations in cheese. It's the Feldman Puggle cheese. Okay, so how about some music here? That's the only thing that can help.
Okay, I've got to throw in a plug for Jeff.
What's he doing?
Grammy Award-winning trumpeter Brian Lynch is
Brian Lynch, coming
around again. And yeah. Jeff's playing with him at the Conservatory in Milwaukee on Thursday, and Andy's in Chicago on next Friday and Saturday.
Sounds good. He's a great player, Brian Lynch. And so is Jeff, as you'll hear on this next number. All right, so Jeff has been doing off-air musician jokes. Let's give him a chance to do one on-air of his choice. One musician joke. One musician to make it your best one, okay? You ready? Best? Got them all written down.
No. What do you throw a drowning guitar player? His amp.
That's an inside joke, I guess, more than anything else. Okay. Drummer jokes are still the easiest and best, though, I think. My sister-in-law is visiting, and I'm wondering whether she should stay in the guest room or the storage shed. Jason Hurwitz. What'd you decide, Joe? Let's find out what the decision was on that. I can see it either way, depending upon the, you know, sister-in-law. Oh, thanks for coming down here. It saves me the trouble. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How'd you figure that one out?
Which one?
What'd you decide on? Shed?
Oh, I asked her. It turns out she speaks English. It's good. She's from Vermont. I wasn't sure, you know. Sister-in-law's a little bit scary, so it's good. It's good.
Go sit down.
Okay.
Thought we had something there. I was wrong. Oh, that's all right. Speaks English. Well, you're off air now. Can't hear you now. Could have said that in the beginning. Ellen Chevis? Yes? Chevis. Gee, I got the cheer right and the E wrong. Oh. Hurrah! My second visit, which I hope clears up something You gave some wine and said, we'll meet at the hotel. I waited 3 hours. I waited 3 hours, and I have the, did I have the wrong spot? Anyway, the wine, I'm coming. Yes, I remember.
Where were you?
What hotel did you say?
I thought it was the Radisson.
The Radisson?
Damn.
I was at the Hilton.
Damn. But I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I'd never see you again, actually.
Well,
I came back after several years.
But I came to celebrate my son's 59th birthday tomorrow.
Oh,
so this will probably be it for me. You know.
Want some more wine for him, I suppose.
Well,
but I'm not meeting him at the Radisson.
Well, I don't
give him the wine.
You anymore. I don't like these no shows. I can't handle this. See, at my age, it's very depressing.
Mine too, actually. I'm sorry I missed you. You don't understand that, Ellen.
Well, because you do have that sexy voice. I listen every week.
When we turn the lights off, that's all you'd hear.
I'm with the lights on.
Okay, and your son is?
Jim.
Jim?
Jim, yes. Pretty good. How about you?
Okay. And I think in honor of his wife, what's a bit good about him?
Well, he takes good care of me. I had a herniated disc, and I had to go to this doctor, and I couldn't get there anymore. He trucked me over there, and he comes over and helps with stuff. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
And he married the perfect daughter-in-law for me.
Oh, is her here taking the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She's very good.
So he's worth the wine, is what you're saying?
Well, I don't think I'd give it to him. I'd keep it.
All right. How about Jim on his birthday? We give the wine to his mother.
I think that's a good idea.
That's all she's been through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are you going to be? Is what I want.
Well, I'm going home with him. Well, I don't. I'm not. No. He was a no-show. One time, you're out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in front of the church group here. You have to be careful. These are the Jerusalem Presbyterians.
I'm a congregationalist.
You're a congregationalist?
Yes.
Well, then you understand what's going on here. She's a congregationalist,
people. We call ourselves the Congos. And I belong to I'm 83, and our church has started a new group. It's called the Isles. We don't give a hoot.
Give her the wine already. What do we got for wine, Sarah?
We have the Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée quality Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, how many bottles is it?
Why not two?
Yeah.
Or four.
Four bottles.
I did share them with them.
Yeah, that's fair then. Two for him, two for you.
I don't know if I'll get here again, but anyway, I'm so glad to see you again.
Just come every week and we won't have that problem.
Well, I'll have to set something up.
Okay.
Yeah, because I went to the casino the other day and this man was getting very friendly. And my daughter-in-law said I should have stayed at that chair, but I thought, well, I'll look for something better.
Yeah.
But actually, he was the best. And by the time I went back, he was gone.
So your machine didn't pay off, but he did.
Well, my machine paid off, but he didn't.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy birthday. Nice to have you back again. We do have 60-year-old newlyweds. That's kind of cool. Is that in the same group here? We got any of you 60-year-old newlyweds? All right, we got them. That's a good thing. There's hope then.
Yes.
This is very hopeful. I like that.
Yes. About 3 months so far.
You want to stand up? Give everybody the appearance of what 60-year-old newlyweds look like. And we have here
Sally Greenwood.
Don Myers.
And Don Myers. Did she take the name?
No.
Staying with the Greenwood?
She kept her own. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. And when did you get married?
In August.
August, okay. And how's that working out so far?
The first few weeks have been great.
But it's been longer than that now.
The first few weeks have been great.
You know, the great thing about being in your 60s is you're not set in your ways.
There you have it. Not me, anyway.
No, no, no. Hmm. Are you set in your ways?
Yes.
but you're adjusting to a man who's, you know.
I am, and he's very easy
to adjust to. He's adjusting to a woman who's, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And you know the very best thing about this? As his eyesight fails, I get better looking.
There you have it. The secret. Thank you both.
Thank you.
It's almost your anniversary. How about some wine?
Really? Yes.
How about some wine? It's almost, yes.
Okay.
More wine.
More wine. Yeah. Again, these great two bottles, Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée, quality Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
There you go. Thank you. Congratulations. Many more. Happy returns of the day. Your seat there. Get you back in your seats. Enjoy the rest of the show. All right. Are we going to top this? I don't think so. Is it okay to check the score of the Badger game on your phone during the show? Yes. Okay. Adam, have you done that, Adam? Do you have a score update?
I did not. So my son checked it.
Okay. What do you got? What do we got so far? 14-0. Badger. All right. We are going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. Being a quiz show, what? You want to play it?
Yeah.
How old are you?
11.
11? You're too smart for this at 11. Let's try it, though. Yes, come on. Either. Go either way. He's 11. That's unfair advantage. How are you? What's your name?
Nick.
Nick? Put her there, Nick. Nice to meet you. You from around here, Nick? Or?
Yeah, I'm from Madison.
You are? Where do you go to school?
Madison Country Day School.
Country Day? It's a good school, huh?
And yeah.
You're in, sixth grade?
Yes.
Sixth grade? Tougher than fifth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah? Not as tough as seventh grade, you anticipate?
I don't know.
Good answer, Nick. I like the way you think. You know, I always thought 11 years old is as smart as you ever get to be in life. By 12, you're going to be a little bit dumber. 13, down, down, down. By the time you're my age, you won't know nothing. No, you're as smart as you're going to be in your life right now.
So that means I'm going to win?
Be smart.
When you consider that nobody ever loses, how can you miss, Nick? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, come on up, Nick. Just walk right up those steps there, Nick. Or hop on stage if you want, because you're young. You can do that kind of thing. My shoelace always comes at the... Yes. Have a seat there, if you would. It was my best grade. It was downhill after that for me. You know, it was a plane, like a declining plane. A ramp.
Or like a hill.
Yeah, or like a hill. That'd be another way of saying it. Where's my pen? Did you take it?
Or a fiscal cliff.
A fiscal cliff. Thank you very much. And what's your favorite subject in school?
Art.
Good man.
Wait, or lunch.
Art and lunch. And you can eat while you paint. You know, so it's like combine your two passions. Yes. Wait, are you a painter? Are you a sculptor?
Both.
Really? What else do you do? Anything else? Art-wise?
I eat.
What are you working on currently as far as artwork goes?
I'm working on papier-mâché animals.
Papier-mâché animals. Cool.
Yeah.
Are there a bunch of them? More than one?
No, I'm only doing one.
Oh, one. Okay. And which animal did you choose?
The boar.
The boar.
I knew it.
Sorry, Sarah. Sarah just had some bad boar last night.
I did have some bad boar.
And she says it wasn't the date, it was the actual the meat.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, sadly, it was we can't really talk
about
that.
Bad memories, no. That's
not can't talk about that too much. That sounds great, Nick. Any other classes that you like? Are you a math person, science person?
No.
No, then just be an artist. You can be an artist. Okay, that's cool. And you know how this quiz works, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, someone out there plays along with you, so you get a collaborationist. Oh, and how does that happen, Sarah?
Well, people who want to play are going to pick up the phone, dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NOW or 1-800-WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, you've all heard of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, I'm sure. The question is, what was Heisenberg uncertain about? Okay, this is a very popular question, I can tell right away. And Heisenberg, what was he uncertain about in his famous uncertainty principle? Let's go to the phones right now, Mount Nebo, West Virginia. It's Whit. Hey, Whit.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Are you working outside now as we speak, or?
No, I'm inside, actually.
You're inside?
Woodwork.
You're woodworking?
Yep.
What are you working on?
I'm running oak trim through my shop in the basement and putting it up upstairs.
You're running the trim all the way from the basement to upstairs?
Well, yeah, you got to run it through the machines to make it, and then bring it upstairs and nail it on.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's the way I'd do it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there trim on there before?
Why are you doing it? Huh? I don't know. I would say that he had a different idea about the... shoot.
I think it's physics, the physics kind of thing.
Yeah, it was... E equals MC squared, he thought was wrong.
No, we all think it's wrong. It makes no sense. Why would one letter equal two others? Squared makes no sense. But
no, that makes great sense.
Okay, maybe that does.
The theory of relativity.
You're saying Heisenberg
that
had
he disagreed with.
Is that true? I don't know. Maybe. No, I'm afraid I have my experts out here say that's not it, Whit. Sorry.
Not it, Whit?
Yeah, not it, Whit.
All right, Mike.
Back to your trim. We'll talk again, though, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will.
Okay, bye. Let's try. Max is on the line from Winneconne.
Winneconne.
That's what I said. I have an accent. Never yell at people for having an accent, Max. How are you?
Still have one.
You know Heisenberg?
Yeah.
What's his uncertainty about?
That you couldn't know a particle's speed and location at the same time.
Oh, God, you're smart, Max. Yes, that's exactly right. Are you a physicist or something, or just a smart
guy?
You're a chemist?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
That would be why.
Yeah, well, what are the odds on that? Max, this is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Max.
Okay, that's a start. Nick is in sixth grade at a very good school, and he's an artist.
Great.
Okay. And are you working as a chemist, Max?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's really good.
Good. Excellent. So, like a job thing, would you recommend becoming a chemist? To, you
know, absolutely.
Young person like Nick? If the art thing doesn't work out? Chemistry.
Definitely.
He shrugged. Okay. All right, two of you are a team, Max and Nick. And what are those categories here?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Max, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I'll go with science.
Science it is. Explain as briefly as you can the traveling salesman problem as it relates to bumblebees. Famous traveling salesman problem as it relates to bumblebees. Okay, let's take a different one then.
I got it.
Huh? You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, Max got it. Okay, never mind. I forgot how smart you were, Max.
So he can visit all the flowers in the shortest distance without hitting one twice.
God, you are really too smart for this show. I'm not even kidding this time. That's right. It's the shortest route. Traveling salesman problem. Wow.
I should have let Nick get that one.
Oh, do you agree, Nick? Might have to agree.
Sure.
Okay. Good man. So that would be...
one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Nick?
I'll choose things you should have learned in school, because I'm in school.
Good point. Which can't humans smell? Is it fear, disgust, or popularity?
Fear.
Disgust or popularity?
Or disgust.
Or popularity. Max, trying to get on it?
Yeah, popularity.
Now, he's saying that you can't smell popularity. Do you find that in the sixth grade? Can you smell someone who's popular?
Yes.
Well, maybe something that we lose over the years. You know, we 11, we can still smell popularity. Max, you guys got to work this out. Oh, I can do this now. So you're saying...
I say popularity.
He says popularity, and
well,
you say...
Well, he's really smart, so go with him.
Always, that's a very smart thing to do. Yes, popularity is the one, except for Nick. He can smell it. But you can smell fear and disgust. We know that to be the case.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
All right, Max?
Places.
Places. Could be anywhere. Let's see. Yes, it is. If, while in Argentina, you are given a wave of the hand and a chupa medias, are you being greeted as one of the following? A rubberneck? Or is it a local pastry similar to a tart? Or are you being called a sock sucker?
Well, I think
chupa medias.
Chupacabra is a goat sucker, so.
Oh.
Oh.
So a chupa sucker.
So you're saying a sock sucker would be a similar vein.
Yeah. Nick, do you take Spanish?
Sometimes.
You should go more often, really. Yeah. So you would agree that it's a sock sucker?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sock sucker. It's a sock sucker. Whoa. I've never heard that in this neck of the woods. Pretty bad, I guess it would be. And well,
that's three right, Michael.
I know, so they won.
They have, yeah.
So what's the deal here then, Sarah?
Well, you could go for one more and see if you can win the mother load.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you risk losing all the other great prizes you've...
Everything
otherwise.
That you've amassed so far.
That's right.
Well, you want to talk it over, Max?
Sure, what do you want to do, Nick?
Nick?
Let's go for it!
All right.
We're going for it! All right. This is it, all or nothing. What's left then?
We have current events, people, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Odds Nick? And ends.
Odds and ends. All right. Okay, here we go. Can a bear learn a hunter by sight?
What?
Okay, never mind. Ritalin.
Friend or enemy?
Good idea or bad before hitting the casino? No, okay, all right. I don't know where these came from. I'm going to fire my person, really. Pimples. No, that's, we already did that one. No, I can't do that one. Here, wait a second. Okay. What did you say? What did you want again?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Well, that's what I'm looking at. Really odds and ends. All right. Are you more likely to discuss politics with family or strangers? Talk it over now, Max, Nick. Politics.
What do you think, Nick?
I don't usually talk about it with my family, so strangers.
Yeah, do you talk about it with strangers?
I don't know.
Don't they warn you about that at school? Do not talk with strangers about politics. That is all. Max?
We have a rule in my family not to talk about politics or weight.
Okay. Or family matters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying strangers?
Yes.
Strangers? Max?
Sure.
Strangers is right, yes. 16% to 12%. Congratulations, you've won all we have. And what have they won, Sarah, Nick?
Nick, you'll quickly whisk away crumbs, pollen, and dust from your favorite perch with a rocking chair porch duster from the Screaming Porch Gift Company in Bay St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, rather, Mississippi. Then enjoy the musical majesty that has entertained since Emperor Maximilian I with a pair of tickets to the Vienna Boys Choir from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Middleton, Wisconsin. Then bask in the afterglow of Halloween with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Chaos Bleeds, written by Christopher Golden, Tom Snegowski, and Cliff Richards from Dark Horse Comics. Look back at A Midsummer Night's Dream wearing a purple t-shirt from the Nebraska Shakespeare Company, and keep hope alive playing What Do You Know the Party game, including two contestants, questions, cards, and a boisterous audience, along with a classic Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Max, you've won the official coin of the What Do You Know realm, the exclusively minted faux sterling silver jubilee anniversary quarter designed by Nora Feldman and featuring the properly bewigged M. Washington Feldman, along with the abiding motto, E. Pluribus Unum. Then discover where real Americans get together with Ray Oldenburg's The Great Good Places, cafes, coffee shops, bookstores, bars, hair salons, and other hangouts at the heart of a community from Marlowe & Company. Stop the whining with a bottle of the once-a-day Suck It Up OTC, the attitude adjuster from Cry Me a River Pharmacy Company. Get some new undies with a $25 gift card from Jockey International and bask in pathetic pastoral moonlight listening to the CD What Do You Know About Beethoven with heroic liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Nice job, Nick. have good on your resume. You did a great job, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're very smart. But you've been told that before. Hang on, yeah. We'll make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for playing. Well, you know what time that means this is.
Yes.
Each week at this time, or almost never, we honor a... You can go by. Yeah. He's talking to you. We honor a town, village, or burg somewhere across the United States. It's time once again for our Town of the Week.
Eloy is 110 square miles of Arizona desert.
Who is?
Eloy, Arizona.
Oh. How do you spell it?
E-L-O-Y.
Oh, that's all you wrote.
Nearly smack between Tucson and Phoenix, Eloy was named by the Southern Pacific Railroad when they built a switch there in the early 1900s. In 2010, the population of this Pinal County city was 16,631. But get this, of those 16,000 people, more than 11,000 of them were male. That doesn't mean Eloy is a single woman's mecca. The Saguaro Correctional Center is in Eloy. It's a medium security prison for male prisoners from Hawaii with nearly 2,000 beds.
What?
The privately operated prison...
They keep prisoners from Hawaii and Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay.
They like to ship them off island, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
The prison claims to offer a menu that caters to the tastes of Hawaiian prisoners, to observe Hawaiian holidays, and to accommodate Hawaiian religious practices. Hmm. The city's also home to the Eloy Detention Center.
So that answers the question, where do Hawaiians go on vacation?
That's right. It's also home to the Eloy Detention Center, which detains people on behalf of U.S. Customs and Immigration. There are approximately 1,400 male detainees and 100 female detainees there. If you want to have fun in Eloy, you can see the Santa Cruz Valley Union High School Dust Devils play or the Junior High's Blue Devils. On Tuesday afternoons, the Eloy Public Library holds video game tournaments for kids. And every month or two, the city hosts a free movie under the stars in Jones Little League Park. But if you're really looking for a good time in Eloy, you have to be willing to jump out of a plane. There's a huge drop zone there called Skydive Arizona. Eloy is sometimes called the skydive capital of the world. Yeah, they recently hosted the National Skydiving Championships, where divers competed in five disciplines, formation diving.
Prisoners get to do that?
Only if they've been really bad. Formation diving, free fall style and accuracy, vertical formation, canopy formation, and artistic events.
Wait a minute. Free fall formation.
I can just give you this piece of paper when I'm done.
Oh, okay.
On the city's website, they ask, why aren't you living here? And it seems like a reasonable question. Mahalo to our town of the week. That's Eloy, Arizona.
Mahalo. That was the strangest sound of the week I can recall hearing in some time. Is there any industry besides the prison?
That's pretty much it. It's the number one employer in town.
Prisoners and
skydiving.
And skydiving. Mm-hmm. Unusual combination.
Thrill seekers? Yeah. I don't know what the
okay.
name is.
Okay. Well, we're calling randomly. Our Lyle is. Did you do that, Lyle? Oh, this is okay. Jessica, in Eloy, Arizona, our town of the week. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi. This is Michael Feldman from Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Well, what do you know, Michael?
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Did you happen to hear the description of Eloy? It's our town of the week.
I did. I do have to say, though, there are no lions that vacation here.
Lions?
There are no lions?
Oh, well, didn't you say, I'm sorry, was it tigers that vacation, or?
Hawaiians.
See?
You thought you said lions came to vacation in Arizona,
wow,
but it's Hawaiians.
That was way off.
No, it's an easy mistake to make. It's a mistake you don't want to make in the jungle, obviously. You think it's a Hawaiian when it's a lion.
Well, it's definitely a jungle here sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, anything else besides the lions that you want to mention as far as Sarah's description of the town?
I mean, Eloy, there's not too much to say about Eloy. It's pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Skydive Arizona here, though, it's kind of like its own community. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people here are awesome. They come from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been here for about 5 years, and it's just amazing. One of the best experiences I've ever had was working here.
Mm-hmm. And are you working with the skydive?
We do.
Yeah.
Well, I work in the office.
Okay.
Basically, what I do is we pretty much sell tickets to the skydivers, and we put them in planes, and they jump out all day long.
Are chutes provided, or is that optional? Is chute optional, I suppose?
Chutes are optional. However, we haven't had anybody that opted to go without.
Do you jump yourself, Jessica? Are you a jumper?
I do. I do have my skydiving license. Mm-hmm. I prefer to stay in the office, though.
Yeah. What's the difference between skydiving and just jumping out of a plane?
Well, there's a huge difference. Yeah. A lot of people come through here, they're first-time jumpers, mm-hmm. Which is themselves with one of our instructors. That's a fun way to go. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, going on a really awesome roller coaster, except, you know, you're jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, big difference.
When you skydive on your own, you know, you have to pull the parachute and, mm-hmm. you know, steer the landing and all that yourself.
But you can just hold on to someone else who'll do all that for you?
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Mm-hmm. I would, too.
Yeah.
But what if they get away from you? Do they tie you together or something? Or?
It's kind of hard. They're strapped to you pretty good here.
Oh, they're strapped to
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What if they want to go out and you don't the last minute? You're
well,
going.
You know,
you're going.
What yeah. they say in the airplane, no sounds like go.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
All right. And so, and this is a big business there, I guess. So it's
it is. It's employed about 150 something odd people, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We have our Skydive Arizona. Then we also have our Sky Venture, which is our wind tunnel.
Sky Venture.
And then we also have Adventures in Skydiving. Which
Wait a second. You have a wind tunnel. What do you do in that?
We do have a wind tunnel. Oh my gosh. It's so awesome.
Yeah. I always wanted one. But...
Yeah, you guys should come out and try it sometime.
Yeah, what are you doing there?
Well, basically, it simulates the free fall of the skydive.
Oh, awesome. It's a training
really
thing.
Really windy. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I can describe it. And
so is it a vertical wind tunnel then?
It is.
Oh, how cool.
Yes.
And what do you do? You stand in there and you appear to be falling through space?
Well, like I said, you kind of simulate a skydive. There's, mm-hmm. there's multiple ways to do that. Mm-hmm. Some people go in on their bellies. Some people do the, they go on their back, and then they also do vertical,
mm-hmm.
Which is they're either kind of standing up or upside down.
How do you stand upside down in the...
well, I personally can't do it, but I have seen it before, and some of the people that use the wind tunnel here are just world champs. I mean, on any given day, you can walk around here and... meet somebody who has, you know, gone to the world championship mm-hmm. of the skydiving or to the world meets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the talent here is just amazing.
So it's basically the prison and you guys.
Yeah, but we'd win any day. Any day of the week we got them.
You'd win. Okay, I guess I don't want to...
That's how awesome we are.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as businesses in...
Well, I guess if you have to... Yeah, if you have to compare us to somebody, I guess.
No, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying Eloy is pretty much the prison and skydive and you guys.
Yeah, and
yeah.
the Lions. Don't forget the Lions.
The Lions.
The Lions.
Yeah. The Honolulu Lions out there. And okay, I mean, do they ever have field trips from the prison to come over there?
No.
Just skydiving?
No.
That'd be kind of
no.
cool. There's a lot of benefits, sounds like they have there with all the Hawaiian food and everything. Sounds nice, is what I'm saying. And now, if we were coming to Eloy, obviously we want to skydive, but where else would you take us around town? Is there a good place to eat or a place to go out and dance? And
let's see. One of the favorite places that people tend to go around here would be Lucky's Sushi, which is in Casa Grande.
Lucky's Sushi. Uh-huh. Never go to a sushi place named Lucky's.
Or Bob's.
Well, it's really good.
Or
I
Bob's.
Promise it's really good.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
You know,
and then to kick back and have a really good time to celebrate something, where do you go? In Eloy.
Gosh, I've lived here like my entire life.
And you've never celebrated a good time?
I go out of town for that.
Jessica, I want to thank you. You've been very indulgent to us, and I know you're working there right now. We have a little something for you.
We'll be sending you the Pride of America's Dairyland in a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley Family of Farms.
Thanks, Jessica. Our town of the week, Eloy, Arizona.
You guys have a great day.
Wish you could laugh with Michael every day? You can. Follow the What Do You Know Fun throughout the week on our Facebook page, thenewnotmuch.com, or on the Twitters at MyFeldman. Tickets are still available for What Do You Know shows in Madison on November 17th, December 1st, 8th, and 15th at the Monona Terrace. And don't forget our annual holiday party
at
Historic Music Hall on the UW campus. That's Saturday, December 22nd.
Bring a dish.
Call 608-262-2222. The number again, 608-262-2201.
A lot of twos in there.
Or go to notmuch.com for tickets. What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Roth and Brad Colbert.
Thank you all. Thanks for coming. Join us again next week if you can. Boys in the band, Sarah and myself. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
PRI, Public Radio International.